Thank you, Jesus, that you're amazing. And thank you for your presence in this place. Lord, I pray every person that can hear the sound of my voice, Father, will be touched by you today. Holy Spirit, flow. Flow in us, flow through us, speak to us. We want to hear from you. Don't want to hear from me. We want to hear from you, Father. So I pray you'd speak into people's hearts and minds this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, one of the things for me that happens is that I get little sort of thoughts that suddenly I start to think on. So often when people are preaching, I just write down a thought, and then for the next week I'll be thinking about that thought, which is the way I think God works for all of us. Unfortunately, as much as I'd like to think that you're going to remember all my sermon, you will only remember one or two bits that just stick. I hope at least one or two bits that stick out, and you'll get them. But they're like seed thoughts. Someone says something and you start to think about them. And one of the things I've been thinking lots about lately is I felt God talk to me about questions Jesus asked. Questions Jesus asked. There's all sorts of questions Jesus asked. And the questions that Jesus asked, he didn't ask because he didn't know the answer. He asked them because there was a message there for you and me. And even this morning, I started thinking about the first question God asked. The first question God asked man was, Adam, where are you? Kind of a, why would God need to ask, where are you, Adam? I mean, God knows everything. It was actually more about, did Adam know where he was? Did Adam know what had happened to him? And so I've just started looking at the different questions Jesus asked, and I'm going to try and do three this morning. We'll see how we go. But the first one I just thought that I'll look at was the first one that's in the New Testament. The first question Jesus asked, okay? And he asked it of his parents because the family had gone to Jerusalem for Passover. So they'd all gone on a church gathering. Bit of a church picnic, I suppose, to Jerusalem. It was a bit more than just a drive across the way for an hour. It was a trek. It was a whole family went, and so they go to Jerusalem and hang out and do the Passover festival, and then they're coming home. And it gets to, they're on the road going back, traveling back, and it comes to the first time where Mum gets all the family together, and Jesus is not there. You know, I know that's every parent's nightmare. Your child is not there. How many people have lost their kids before? Yes. And man, you get in a bit of a fluster. And so suddenly Mary realizes she's lost Jesus. You know, God's given you his son to look after and you've lost him. It's not a good place to be, is it? So he's lost Jesus. So quickly they go, let's go back. They asked everybody, went back. And they don't find him for 3 days. Now that has got to be a bit of a heavy duty, very annoying, very upsetting. 3 days. And they finally find him. Now, just if you're a parent, just think through how you would be feeling when you finally found your kid actually just relaxing, chatting away with people in the temple. You'd be really ticked off, wouldn't you? You'd be pretty mad. Okay, so here we are in Luke 2, verse 48. His parents didn't know what to think. Son. That's all she said. Son. His mother said to him, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been frantic searching for you. Verse 49, this is Jesus. But why did you need to search? Didn't you know that I must be in my father's house? But they didn't understand what he meant. How many times did God ask questions and we don't understand what he meant? Why did you need to search? Jesus is saying, isn't it obvious where you would find me? Didn't you know that I'm going to be doing the call on my life, the purpose on my life? Didn't you know that I would be in my father's house? Jesus was passionate about it, about God's house. If only we were as passionate as Jesus was about God's house. Just a thought. You know, lately a lot of people have been saying to me, oh, I can't afford to buy a house. And I keep going, if you look after God's house, God will look after your house. If you look after God's house, if you look after God's family, God's whānau, if you look after them, God will look after you. You know, so often we focus on our house. I really felt that was something for Eleanor and I, and that's what's proven in our lives. You know, we lost our house. I went through some financial stuff. It looked like we'd never get a house. We just carried on serving in God's house. Right through everything that I've ever gone, we're in church every Sunday. Because I go, you run to God. You don't run away from God. You don't run away. You go, I'm going to go to God's house. And there and out of, I believe, continuing to tithe, even when I was in looking like I was going to go bankrupt, just continuing to tithe, just continually give. Why? Because my trust and my faith is not in the system, it's in God. And so as we've looked after God's house, he's looked after our house. And not just our physical health, I think he's looked after our family health, everything about our household. You look after God's house, he'll look after your house. We've got a part of our whānau, Ruth and Victor, have gone into their new house, which a whole lot of us were a part of. You know, a whole lot of us gave into there, and now they're in their house. But can I tell you that they have looked after God's house? Really, Victor's been, for me, one of the most faithful and guys that's in church, regardless of what, he's there, and he's been faithful in God's house, and now God's blessed his house. So, it's funny too about houses, because again, I was having a coffee with someone this week, and they said they were searching for God, and they found an old church that they went into. And they sat at the back. There was a whole lot of old people in there. But in that place, they found God. And I don't know what it is, but a lot of people go and they find, you know, they go to a church and there is something about the presence of God where they know they find God. It's just a miraculous thing. People find God in his house. So, why do you need to search for me? You know, sometimes I think we are searching for Jesus in other places instead of coming to his house to find him here. Coming and finding him. So I want you to find him. Now you can go away and have a bit of a think about that. See what other things you get out of the question. What was Jesus trying to say in the question? Here's my second one today is, where is your faith? Luke 8:24. Let me read you this. So this is another question. One day, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and started out. As they sailed across, Jesus settled down for a nap. But soon a fierce storm came down on the lake. The boat was filling with water and there was real danger. Verse 24, the disciples went and woke him up shouting, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and the raging waves. Suddenly, the storm stopped and all was calm. And then he asked them, "Where is your faith?" The disciples were terrified and amazed. "Who is this man?" they asked each other. "When he gives a command, even the wind and waves obey him." Where is your faith? You know, like all of us, things come into our lives, into my life. Pressures come into life. They come into your life. And recently I've been... I just got stuck on a couple of them. A couple of the problems started just weighing on my mind, and then I'm reading this, and I sort of felt God say, "So, Alan, where is your faith? Where is your faith?" I felt he personally asked me, "Where's your faith?" And I started going, "Yeah, where is my faith? Why is it this thing in my head seems so big? Where is my faith? Why is my mind so worried about it?" I don't know what you're worried about today. Is there something that you're thinking about? Here's my question. Where is your faith? When you stop and you look at that situation, where is your faith? Where is it situated? Have you lost it? Because obviously Jesus is saying to them, guys, where is it? So it is somewhere. The faith is somewhere, but where? Is it in the wrong place? You know, as I analysed this thing I was worrying about, I suddenly realised that I'd put my faith in some people. And now I was worried that those people weren't going to come through. And really, my faith was not in Jesus, the rock. It just got on to being in the person. Where is your faith? What is your faith in? Is it in the wrong place? What do you have your faith in? Is your faith in you? You know what? Sometimes I think I put my faith in myself. I think I've got it covered. And how stupid that is. You know, sometimes we just put our faith in ourselves. Sometimes we put our faith in money or in our job or in something. But faith leaks. What do you have your faith in this morning? What do you trust in? I often use the word faith and trust because I feel they're very, very similar. So my faith is like my trust is my trust. So where is my trust? Oh, it's so easy to trust in a whole lot of other things except Jesus, isn't it? Where's your trust this morning? Where's your trust located? If you closed your eyes and looked at the way you have been thinking, where would you see your trust? Where would your faith be? My hope is it's in Jesus. But I think like all of us, sometimes we wander around in other things and then it's suddenly like the light goes on. Oh, man, I'm a Christian. I should be having my faith in Jesus. And we relocate that faith right back to where it should be. You know, what did the disciples trust in? They're in the boat. There's a storm going. Jesus is asleep. What were they trusting in? What had happened? Why had they not had faith? They had Jesus in the boat. You and I now, because we're 2,000 years on and we've read this story a few times, we know that, mate, if Jesus was with me anywhere physically, I'd be okay. I'd know everything's going to be all right, wouldn't you? You'd be going, what a nut to even worry about anything. What an idiot. Are you allowed to say idiot? for not trusting. But here they are. The disciples had forgotten. Here's what I wrote. Grabbed this from out of one of the concordants. It said, the disciples looked around and saw danger, looked within and saw fear, but they failed to look up by faith and see God. Faith and fear cannot dwell together in the same heart. Jesus certainly knew there was a storm coming. And as I wrote those words, storm coming, I felt that was a word for some people here today. There's a storm coming. I don't know what that storm is for you, but there is a, for some, could be a storm coming. Basically, this, I don't know if this is encouraging, but either you're going into a storm, you're in a storm, or you're just coming out of a storm. It's just the way life goes, isn't it? You're either coming into a storm, you're in the middle of a storm, or you're going out. There's storms of life. Same in church. We're either coming into a storm, we're either in a storm, or we're going out. Storms are coming. But if we in our mind go, okay, yep, I know there's a storm coming. Now, right now, I'm going to pre-think this through. When that storm comes, I'm going to have my faith in Jesus. My faith is going to be in him. Jesus certainly knew there was a storm coming, yet he went to sleep in the ship. The fact alone should have encouraged the disciples not to be afraid. Just because he was asleep there, they should have been, well, that's okay. Is Jesus worried about your situation today? It might feel like he's asleep, but it's okay. He's in your boat. You don't have to worry. What was their problem? The same problem God's people face today. We know the word of God, but we do not believe it when we're faced with the tests of life. It is one thing to learn the truth. it is quite something else to live it. Where is your faith is still a key question. Are we trusting God's promises or are we trusting ourselves or our circumstances? Where are you? And here's some things that I wrote down will help you locate where your faith is, because you might have lost it. So I'm going to just try and help you to locate it. Your actions indicate where your faith is, don't they? What I'm doing, my actions, they indicate where my faith is. They indicate where they are. They indicated where the disciples were, because in some ways their faith was right because their actions went, they went to Jesus. Mate, if in doubt, let's go to Jesus. That's a good thing to do. That's a good action. Your words indicate where your faith is. If you want to know where your faith is, just have a listen to yourself. If you really want to know where your faith is, ask somebody around you. What do you think I talk about all the time? Am I always negative? Am I always pulling things down? The disciples, their words said, "Master, we're going to drown." So their words weren't in the right place. Your thoughts indicate where your faith is. Your time indicates where your faith is. What you do with your time and your money, that can indicate where your faith is. You know, it's a hard thing to step out in faith to tithe. But the question is where is your faith? Where is it located? Is it located in God or is it located in job, money, finance, whatever? It locates where you are. You know, in the same story in the book of Mark, Jesus asked them slightly different questions. So this is how Mark interpreted what he said. He said, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" So that's in Mark 4 verse 40. "Why are you afraid?" is the same as "where is your faith?" It's the same statement, really. Why are you afraid? When you are afraid, it shows that your faith has changed and gone somewhere else. Fear indicates your faith is lost. Where is your faith? It's the same question today. Do you still have no faith? Where is your faith is the same as does it still have no faith. Where is your faith this morning? Where is your faith? Now look, I've run out of time to do my third one, but my third one was just in John 5, 1 to 10. You can go home and have a read of that if you want. And that's the story of Jesus coming to the paralyzed man. And he asked him, "Would you like to get well?" And like a lot of us, the guy doesn't answer the question. He actually just explains why he can't get well. But that wasn't what Jesus asked him. I find that a lot. Sometimes we don't answer the question. We just tell them the problem. Go have a look at that. Would you like to get well? Yes. Yes. The answer's simple. Yes. But he gave this whole big long thing like, look, the reason I can't get, why? Because he had his faith had transferred to some action that would happen in the little pool. And you need to go read it if you don't know the story. It's like when I ask people, would you like to buy a house? And they go, "Oh, well, house prices are too high now and you needed this." And I go, I didn't actually ask you that question. I asked you, would you like to buy a house? Yeah. You know, it's like there's lots of questions God answers us, and we've already got the answers, but we're answering the wrong question. So we go right back to the first question that God asked. Where are you, Adam? Where are you? Where are you with God? Where are you with God? Where is he? God knows where he is, but do you know where he is? So there's three questions. First one, now I need to do it right, don't I? I need to say them right, otherwise I'll be in trouble. You'll go, no, that's not quite exactly. The first one was about Jesus, where he said, oh, I've gone way off my notes. Here we go. First question was, why did you need to search? Isn't it obvious you would find me here? And you are here, so that's good. You're in the right place at the right time. You're in God's house. Where is your faith? Do you want to get well? That was the third one. Do you know where to find Jesus? You know, the gospel is simple. The simple. God created the world. He created us to be in relationship with him. But through sin, what they call the fall, the world got broken. You and I were made to be in relationship with God, but sin meant it was broken. It's not the way it's supposed to be. And so Jesus came to fix what was broken. Jesus came to fix that relationship with you and me. Like I said, right at the start, God was going, where are you, Adam? Why? Because Adam had disconnected from God. Before that, he'd walked in the garden and talked with God. He felt fulfilled. He knew exactly what he was created for, and he was in relationship with God. But after he fell, after sin entered the world, it was broken, and now that relationship's broken. And that's the same for us all. Our relationship with God is broken. Yet Jesus comes to fix it. And he fixes it by starting on the inside, by healing our inside and forgiving us of our sin. And so now we can have a relationship with God. He makes us right with God. He fixes what was broken and makes us right with God so that we can spend time with God now and communicate with him and in eternity. That is the gospel. In simplicity, that is the gospel. And the question I ask you is, do you know where to find Jesus? Well, it's easy. He's right here, right now. You don't have to go looking any further. He's right here. His presence is in this place. And all you have to do is ask him to come into your life. You just have to ask him, say, dear Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Please come into my life. I want to be in right relationship with you. And by faith, it's a faith thing. It's a phenomenal thing. You are made right with God. Not by what you do. Everybody gets stuck on what, if I do the right thing. No, no, that doesn't get you any closer to God. The Bible says, and all our good works are like filthy rags. No matter how good we try to be, we won't get into a relationship with God because we're broken. We can't fix ourselves. We can't help ourselves. All we have to do is ask Jesus, though, and he will come and he will fix us. He will make us right with him. He will fulfill us. He will bring life into our situation. What an amazing thing that is. And so this morning I'm going to pray a prayer. And we're all going to pray it. And maybe you don't know Jesus and maybe you go, yeah, I'm not in right relationship with him. Why don't you just pray this prayer with us? As you believe in your heart, as you confess with your mouth, the Bible says you'll be saved. You'll be saved from your brokenness because he's going to heal you. So why don't we just do that? Everybody just close your eyes. And I'd like you to repeat this prayer after. Dear Jesus, I thank you that you love me. I thank you that you died on the cross for my sin, for my brokenness. And right now, I ask you to forgive me and to come into my life. Be the Lord of my life. Be my Savior. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me pray for you. Father, I pray for each person here. Lord, I pray that every person here would know you. Lord, that they'd know how much you love them. And Lord, right now we do want to be people that live by faith. And Lord, forgive us when we've put our faith in other things. I don't know what situation you're facing today. Why don't you just look and see in your mind, where is my faith? And maybe it needs to be reallocated. Maybe it needs to be moved from what's disappointed you and what's not right and relocated to Jesus. Why don't you even in your heart say, in your mind, Jesus, my faith's in you. You're in my boat. You're right here, right now. Thank you. I'm putting my faith and my trust in you. Whatever the situation is, my faith and my trust is in you. Man, it's so It's so amazing how much the peace of God comes when we just put our faith in Him. Whatever that situation is, for some of you it's about a relationship that's not right, and you've put your faith in that person or in that relationship and it's gone haywire, you need to relocate and go, no, I'm going to put my faith and my trust in God. Some of you, you need finances. Your finances are not what they should want. You just go, God, I'm going to put my finances and my trust in You. Some of you, there's a situation that you've been thinking about all the time that's annoying you, that's weighing on you. Why don't you just say, Jesus, can You just come into that situation? God, I want You in that situation. I'm going to trust in You. My faith and my love is in You. Just do that transaction. It's an amazing how we can just do that transaction in our head and suddenly peace comes into our lives. Someone, I just sense you're afraid. You're afraid of something. It's like the enemy keeps bringing fear into your life. Why don't you just say, God, I'm going to trust You. You don't need to fear anything when Jesus is in your boat. There's no storm too big, no situation too hard. Some of this COVID storm, it's a storm. It's all right. Jesus is in the boat. We might not be able to understand what's going on, but He does. We don't need to know all the answers. We don't need to get all wound up about it, because our trust and our faith is in God. Wow, what a comfort that is.